Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
On The Advertising Show, brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Ray Schillens here along with Brad Forsythe. And as always, we promise you a great time to spend with us here at theadvertisingshow.com. Just a few minutes away, Gene Bliss is going to talk about Starbucks. And a little bit later on this hour, it'll be Millennials and Discovery. Patrick Meyer, our marketing insider on The Advertising Show. And our guest today is out of Portland, Oregon. This past week was shown, actually a couple of weeks ago, was chosen as one of the top cities to start a new business in. You know, it rates it on, available talent and of course, environment and such. So Portland, Oregon, absolutely gorgeous city. Dennis Hahn, president and CEO of ID Branding, a full-service branding agency in Portland. It helps clients to develop rich and enduring brands. An accomplished designer and art director devoting 20 years to branding and communication, he expanded being creative into developing elegant solutions to business problems. We need more of those kind of folks. So we'll talk more about Dennis and get a chance to talk with him here in just a moment. So we hope you'll stick around for that. Got something here out of Media Week, Brad. It says, we're all thinking about the recession, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. And gas prices on the rise, houses, hard to sell and buy and such. But regardless of a recession, what they're saying here, non-traditional media segments should continue to thrive this year and in the immediate future. That's PQ Media that issued that report. The Stamford, Connecticut-based media researcher says that spending on what it calls alternative media, which encompasses, as you know, everything from digital to mobile, emergent segments like gaming and branded entertainment, will surge by 20.2%, $88.2 billion in 2008. Over the next few years, that segment could enjoy a compound growth rate of about 17%, hitting $160 billion by 2012, regardless of an economic downturn. So good news for the folks in that industry, and a smart decision as well, don't you think?
Oh, so, key word there, new media. And interesting that you bring up PQ Media. The CEO, Patrick Quinn, is going to be our guest on into April. I believe it's April 20th. So a great company. You're going to have a lot of great stats if you liked what Ray just was talking about. Yeah. Certainly make a point to tune in for that. You know, this Governor Spitzer, Governor Pattison deal out of New York, I got to tell you, Ray.
This is the dirt segment of the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were joking. Like, you know, last time or a couple weeks ago, actually, we talked about it. You said the new governor has been in trouble as well. And it's like, what? What do you mean?
Well, he decided to come clean on a lot of stuff. In addition to the prostitution issues in his past, he decided more recently, earlier this week, to admit that he'd smoked pot and done coke. And he's finally decided, okay, enough about me. Let's get back to business. But he did mention, which I thought was interesting, that when he did take prostitutes out, this was several years ago, that he would take them to the Days Inn there in the state capital of New York, Albany. And I'm wondering, Ray, when I heard this, did he have a buy one, get one free coupon? Or what? And I'm talking about the room, not the prostitute. But, you know, what a classy guy, Days Inn. I mean, come on. And then there's this issue about whether he used they say that he did use a government credit card. You're and that kidding. He was either planning on reimbursing or did reimburse. I don't know. But it's crazy, I mean, they talk about, with just the stuff going on nowadays in government, I guess he's thinking, I'll come clean with all this, and that way, you won't have anything
to
pick at when you
dig up on me. You want to get rid of me now or later, right?
Exactly.
And they're not going to get rid of him, obviously. At least I don't think so. Unless we have a film at 11 or something like that. How very interesting. That whole thing is such a joke, and Saturday Night Live has done such a great job of parodying the whole event as well. I enjoyed that. I'm sure so did the former governor of New York as well.
Oh, yeah.
Who's got a new career in litigation as it relates to sexual misconduct. It's perfect. It's a wonderful match.
First-hand experience.
Yeah. Wendy's has always been kind of innovative, square hamburgers, Dave Thomas. And Wendy's had some trouble after Thomas passed away, as you well know, getting kind of back on track. But basically, Wendy's is doing something cool. They're putting digital ads in bars. I guess, you know, you drink a few beers, you want a greasy hamburger. Not that I'm saying they're greasy, but uh-huh. You know, why not? Basically, out drinking, got the munchies. Wendy's is just the ticket. The ads appear on a broadband touchscreen media network that provides digital music to bars and restaurants. The Fast Feeder and its media agency MediaVest out of New York launching a digital ad campaign across 5,100 bars and restaurants located within 1 mile of a Wendy's. Talk about specificity. The Starcom mm-hmm. unit partnered with San Francisco-based eCast, which is a broadband touchscreen media network. It provides digital music to bars and restaurants with the goal that late-night revelers will stumble on a Wendy's ad while browsing for a song to play. When touched, the ads expand into a full microsite, including directions to the nearest Wendy's. Isn't that cool?
Hmm. Stumble onto a Wendy's ad and then stumble into a Wendy's. I'd like to see daypart exposure on that. I imagine it's going to be around closing time, right?
Probably so. We used to do that with IHOP, as I recall. So yeah. Wendy's, I think Wendy's is a better choice. Hey, we've got Jean Bliss coming your way here, speaking of places to eat out, to the customer experience, and she's talking about Starbucks.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Big buzz out there in Coffee Land about Howard Schultz's dramatic gesture of shutting customers out of their coffee on the evening of February 26th to get Starbucks baristas and stores back to their core of loving coffee and serving it with a flourish. Will it work? You tell me. By the time you hear this, you'll likely have been back to your favorite Starbucks. Does it feel any different? Does your coffee taste better? Has the experience improved in a distinguishable way? I salute the gesture. The challenge is that there's a lot more that got Starbucks to its current customer experience than the folks on the front line serving the brew. I look forward to seeing how Howard shifts the rest of the pieces in this Rubik's Cube of the Starbucks experience to change not only the people, but the operations decisions that got them here in the first place.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thank you, Jean Bliss, here on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. About to hook up with Dennis Hahn. As we told you, he's president and CEO of ID Branding. Dennis co-founded interactive agency ZCom back in 91, serving the emerging tech industry on the West Coast. He was also an early proponent of user-centered design and online branding, and later sold ZCom to Emerald Solutions, an e-business consulting firm. In 01, Dennis joined ID Branding to chart a new course for the agency that had been around since 79. Under Dennis's leadership, the agency won major assignments from Intel, Kodak, Microsoft, and Symantec. In August of 2007, Dennis purchased the agency along with two other partners with the belief that a brand, in order to be relevant and sustainable over time, must operate much like a culture. How true that is. Belief has led the agency to the agency's philosophy of brand culture, which is based on an anthropological insights combined with a new understanding of how consumers are using brands today. And that's all essential elements of successful stuff there. So we've got Dennis on out of Portland for a few segments here today on The Advertising Show. I got less than a minute. What do you have there?
Well, I was just going to mention it is March Madness, so anyone out there that's seeing March Madness spots or ads from car dealers, just realize that they are the most disconnected advertiser in the world, because if they really think their consumer really cares that they're having a sales event because they're theming at March Madness, then, you know, they need to go find some other line of work. That's just my...
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, so many times client-driven, wouldn't you say? No,
of
no,
course
man,
it's
we
client-driven.
Nobody comes
that's
up with that.
That's just the point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's either a wimpy agency that can't tell their client that no one cares, or a client that says, I'm going to do this because I'm interested in March
Absolutely.
Madness.
On that note, we're going to take a break, come back with Dennis Hahn, president and CEO of ID Branding, here on The Advertising Show.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Stronger than dirt.
As promised on The Advertising Show, our special guest out of Portland is Dennis Hahn, President and CEO of ID Branding. Dennis, it is so good to have you here. Welcome to The Advertising Show.
Great. Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Brad. It's great to be here.
Yeah, our pleasure. We're honored to have you as our guest today, and a big fan of your company, and I've noticed that you guys get some decent play out of Portland for being a smaller market, but you're out there competing with the big branding companies out of New York, LA, elsewhere. And Ray had mentioned that your company, you and your partners, I guess, Doug Lowell and Diane Stewart, recently bought the firm, recently as in last summer. Any surprises about becoming an owner of a branding firm that you now know that you didn't know then?
No, not really. All of three of us had actually owned agencies in some form in the past. So for us, it was just more familiar territory. And we had been investing so much here at the agency as management, we just decided, well, we might as well do it for ourselves and versus for doing it for somebody else. So it's, in some senses, it's just getting back to what we already knew.
And any change in growth? Were you guys the team for new business, or has it become more aggressive? Any changes in that area?
You know, the biggest change, honestly, has been just our change in philosophy, and that's the brand culture philosophy you mentioned at the outset of the show. And we've been working on that now for the last, really, it's been in germination for the last 3 years. And it's been great to finally get our collective thinking around brand culture and really start to put it on the ground, so to speak. So this year we're really getting a lot of momentum now that we've put that out there in form of a white paper.
Well, define for our audience that may not be familiar with what a brand culture from ID Branding's perspective is.
Sure. It all really starts from what we believe is the current but outdated model of branding. And that's that model that's based on creating what we call an external brand image. And that's really the old advertising model. And it's funny, you were mentioning Governor Spitzer earlier, and that's really the idea of an external brand image. He's putting this image out into the market, but really he's somebody else, and he was exposed for that. And we feel that many brands operate much the same way and have historically. And so this notion of being a brand culture is that the brand is really based on a common set of values that drive the company's action and their communication. So what they do and what they say is very consistent or congruent. And we believe that consumers are really starting to choose brands that have the right meaning for them based on these shared set of values.
And so give us a sense of how you define what those common set of values happen to be. I assume that there's some research there involved.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot been said for many companies doing this sort of thing over the years. For example, if you take, Volvo is a very classic example. I think everyone knows that Volvo stands for safety as a brand. And it's no accident how they sort of become to stand for that. That's one of Volvo's three core values. Really, safety has been the essence of what's driven that company since the 20s when it was founded. And it's just something that they've always been in service to over the years. So their mission has been to build a safer car. They've always marketed a safer car. They've always put all their money into building a safer car, and they've always sold it that way. And that's what draws that kind of a consumer to that kind of a brand that's looking for what they perceive to be the world's safest car. And so it's this notion of the value set is very similar, and it's very consistent. And that's what branding's all about. It's about consistency and continuity.
So you mentioned earlier that you thought that your firm thinks the current model of branding is outdated. So you're suggesting that the vast majority of branding out there is not taking in consideration the consumer perspective?
Well, I think they are trying to, but it's the idea of rather than creating a brand that where the brand is chasing the consumer, sort of what does the consumer want, what are we going to give them today, and having that being very disconnected from what the company is really about, people are really figuring that out. I mean, and that's really mostly due to the internet. Now that the internet is putting information in people's hands, where they can go find out what companies are really up to, so really the whole notion of this impenetrable wall around a company, where people can't really peer into it, that's now gone, and everyone can see, and it's very transparent what companies are up to. So consumers are really voting with their pocketbooks now. They're really saying, look, is this a company I can really get behind based on their shenanigans or the good deeds that they're doing? And they make a choice. And that's really the change that we're seeing today.
So how much of what you guys recommend to your clients from a brand strategy standpoint involves new media nowadays?
Involves new media?
Yeah.
That part really depends. It depends on, is that the best way to reach their consumer? And frankly, if you think about it like a culture, you know, the whole notion of culture is going to where people are. And so it's not like we're trying to get people to come to a certain place necessarily. And with new media, it's all about getting out and reaching people in the places where they live. So if you just look at the social web, for example, and you look at everything that's happening there, you have consumers where they're used to now bringing information into them, and they're living in their little communities. And so it's really impacted the way that brands are really needing to talk to those people. They can't just push communications out at them anymore. They have to create compelling and interactions, they have to create compelling applications, and really be authentic about it in a way that makes sense to, again, back to their values. They can't be showing up in a way that is very inauthentic to what that particular brand happens to be about.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say that because, we talk a lot to new media executives and digital media experts, so to speak, and they all say that going the digital way, using new media there's a role for new media in all products and services in reaching today's consumer. And you suggest that it really depends on whether it's the best way to reach their consumer. I found that interesting that you're suggesting that maybe some products or services are not able to connect with their consumer through new media. And if so, what would be an example of that?
Well, I think, again, it has to go back to, don't get me wrong, I do believe that interactive media is really now becoming the main backbone for the media channel to reach people in general. But again, I go back to the notion that if you, for example, I recently saw that Kraft had put up a website they're trying to create a social network, Kraft, okay? And mm-hmm. I think that if you think about what Kraft is about and all the different kinds of products that they produce, you have to really ask yourself, is creating a destination social network around craft products really going to reach out to their consumer? Does that feel like a way that they want to be reached? And I think you have to really think about that. Is that really the best way to reach those people? And I don't know, because I haven't seen the research and I haven't seen the success of this social network they've created, but I think you have to kind of wonder, is this what that consumer is really looking for? Is that going to be the best way to reach out to them? And is it going to be the way that's going to be most meaningful to them about that brand? I don't know.
That's a logical answer to that question as well, Brad. Here on the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Out of Portland, Oregon, ID Branding is the company. IDbranding.com is their website. Dennis Hahn is our very special guest on the Advertising Show, being powered by Shipple. And Shipple has a platform called Tendency, which is an incredibly killer marketing platform as well. So check it out. Ed and his guys do a great job for the Ed Show as well here. It's Shipple, S-C-H-I-P-U-L. Back with more with Dennis and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
Back for another segment with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth and Dennis Hahn, CEO of ID Branding out of Portland, Oregon, idbranding.com. If you heard the first segment, that's why you came back for the second one as well. So we're glad you're here. And Dennis, welcome back to the show.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, just to follow up, you were mentioning craft and developing a social network. I think, you know, a lot of consumers today, unless the a company like that is developing a social network that has some kind of meaningful value to the consumer, I think it's just, you know, BS to think that, you know, you can create the kind of social network that consumers actually see some value in. And I agree with you. I think, you know, if you try to just use a social network to blow your own horn and make people buy into your product or your services, they that doesn't pass the sniff test. They're onto that and they, you know, move on. You know, and back to that just for a little bit. As you say, social media tools are giving people more power to call out what is authentic or a false image. What do you consider to be some of the more important social media tools available to consumers today?
Well, I think, to be honest, it's the ones where that are really truly designed to be social media outlets. You know, you take an application or an outlet like Facebook, for example, and that's, you know, originally was designed for college kids in the beginning, but really that's where a lot of adults are spending their time, and it's a place that was designed to facilitate social interaction. So that makes more sense to hang out there and to set up your page and to kind of create this sense of community for yourself than it is to go to a product's website to try and, you know, who's going to live on the craft, I don't mean to pick on craft, but who's going to want to live on the craft website to do social media stuff? That's why I say where brands really need to go where the people are, not try and be destinations unto themselves. And that's what really the social web is all about. You know, you can create applications that can live in Facebook, for example, that could be very meaningful to the people that are already there, and then maybe that's a better way to connect to them than trying to get them to go somewhere they really don't want to go.
Yeah, I agree. And let's give you a chance to talk a little bit about ID branding and let our listeners understand a little bit more about your firm and how you approach your clients' work. Tell us a little bit about your firm's new model of branding and why it's better and more effective than other branding firms or consultancies out there. I mean, what is it that differentiates you guys from the rest, other than the fact that you guys are doing what you're calling creating your brand culture approach? Anything else out there that you guys are offering that differentiate you from others?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, I mentioned we've been working on this notion of brand culture for the last several years and really been studying our own industry, which is going through its own sort of crisis, if you will, trying from Madison Avenue down to small shops like ours, and everyone's really trying to figure out what the new way is of, and what the new way of doing branding, marketing, advertising, what clients want, and what agencies need to do to deliver that. And this notion of brand culture really came from this understanding that we had that, you know, we felt that the most important product that a brand can create today is meaning. And that's what people are really looking for. They're looking to self-identify with brands. And so to create meaning, we are drawing on our traditional heritage of doing brand strategy work. And that's a big part of where we start in the work that we do. But the biggest piece that in the hole and the gap that we really realized was this whole notion of internal brand adoption. We have worked with major brands over the years, spending millions of dollars to build brands, create meaning, and then push them out into the market. But we have forgotten along the way that, gee, the employees of the organization that you're creating the brand for, what about them? If they don't understand what the brand meaning is, how are they going to support it in the market? And so that's what we sort of set out to figure out how to solve that problem. We all knew it was something that had to be addressed, but we really didn't have a good way of getting there. And that's why we turned to cultural anthropology. We said, okay, if we're anthropologists, how would we approach this? How would we approach this from the whole people perspective? And how do we get people to really understand and start to adopt the behaviors of a brand so they can really start to back it out there in the marketplace? And that just gets back to that congruency thing. And that's what we help companies do.
So to take what you just said and put it in a simplistic way, if I could,
sure.
In a lot of cases, what you guys have been able to determine is the brand culture for a particular client. You have to make sure, I guess, that the people within your client's company have a similar understanding as opposed to only the C-level executives that happen to be sitting in the boardroom when you guys go in to explain your brand strategy. And you have to bring that in, I guess, to the rank and file of the of all members of the company that are a part of representing that particular brand. Is that the way you're, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely correct. Because if you think about it, the more brand touch points there are with people out there in the world, those are all the frontline employees. These are people that are in call centers or on the sales floor or in dealerships if you're in the automotive industry, or they're in retail, and these are the people that are touching the public every day. And those are the folks that are touching your consumer. These are your brand advocates. If they do not understand at all what the brand stands for, what your brand promises, how can they deliver on it? They don't. They can't. And so what they do is they bring their own judgment and their own sort of value around what they think the brand is about, if they even think about it at all. And that's the experience people end up having. So if we can get every single employee to, at least at a fundamental level, just understand what the brand stands for, and then if we can really equip them to start to embody it,
right. Then
you're going to have some success.
That's what Starbucks fell short of a little while ago, why they had that retraining class as well. And if they don't carry that brand, boy, they're going to destroy you in a heartbeat, because what travels faster, good news or bad news? We have Dennis Hahn, a special guest here on the Advertising Show. Dennis is CEO of ID Branding out of Portland, idbranding.com, their website. Back with more in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. And a little more time to spend with our special guest today, Dennis Hahn, CEO of ID Branding out of Portland. Dennis, welcome back to the show.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, and you know, Ray, what you were saying about Starbucks, at least Howard Schultz, the CEO, came out, and you know, I thought it was admirable that the guy admitted that they had gotten off track and wanted to return to that. A lot of CEOs just, you know, ignore, either keep that quiet and try to do some internal footwork, but they, you know, I thought it was very honorable of the guy to come out and say, you know, what he did publicly. And then it makes, I think, the consumer feel like, hey, they're trying to get it back on track, and they're willing to give a company like that another shot, I suppose.
I'll go there, yeah.
Yeah. And would that be non-fat, Ray, or 2%?
Non-fat.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what you were just describing, Dennis, about getting the brand value and what the brand culture is all about down to the rank and file of the company. Are there any branding efforts that you see out there by companies that we can name names here that are a great example of putting one message out to the public and yet carrying off, or not being able to carry off, I should say, what the brand promise is all about, and really missing the opportunity there?
Sure. Well, you know, you mentioned Starbucks, and I think Starbucks was, in a sense, sort of the poster company for doing that in the first place. And the reason they got away from it was because, frankly, Howard got away from it, Howard Schultz, and he put somebody else in charge, and our opinion is that it's the CEO's job to really champion the brand for their organization. And if you bring in a CEO that doesn't understand that, then that stuff starts to fall apart really quickly, because now you start to make trade-offs. You start to say, well, cost, efficiency, scale, those things all start to factor in, and then all of a sudden it comes at the expense of the brand. And I think they realized it, and then, you know, when Howard Schultz came back in, they said, hey, we've really gotten off track here. We want to go back to what we were always about. So I think, you know, I think they're working hard to bring that back, and I think you have to really admire them for doing that.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention another, you know, another brand. You know, look at Toyota, you know, the car company. They have done an amazing job really building a very solid brand over the years, and it's all been based on something that they call the Toyota Way. There's been many articles published on the Toyota Way, but it's a very small two paragraphs that define what their worldview is, what their core value is, and it's something that every single employee at Toyota strives to understand during their entire career at Toyota. And it really starts to articulate what it is like to work at Toyota, and it all is coming from what the core essence of their brand is about. And look at their success. Look at how successful they've been able to be in their own field and overtaken Detroit and so on, and just about them becoming the number one car company in the world. They've done that by being consistently focused on doing the Toyota way.
Yeah, I think just a few minutes left here, Dennis. I want to get to a couple quick questions. I think I know how you're going to answer this, but I'll ask it anyway. Tell us what you think are some of the biggest mistakes made by those who may be undertaking a brand strategy for the first time.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things. I think the first major mistake is not having the backing of the executives, the CEO in particular, and of the senior leadership. So oftentimes marketing people will try and go off and own this, but they just can't. And it's obvious based on the conversation we've been having, but marketing alone can't do it. It's an organizational activity, and you need buy-in from them and participation. Yeah, I'd say that's the biggest one. The other, I think, is looking at it like it's a project. I think a lot of people look at branding like, oh, this is our branding initiative for this year. They put a lot of effort into it initially. They get it out the door, and then they sort of wash their hands of it. They say, okay, we're done. Whew, now let's get back to work. And I don't think people realize everything they're doing every day is building the brand or taking the brand down. And so that you have to look at it as it's an ongoing thing. And it's a thing you have to be dedicated to doing. It's a way of life. You can't just think of it like it's something that starts and stops.
Kind of like a relationship,
you know,
isn't it?
Very much so.
Okay, honeymoon's over, sweetie. Give me a beer. Okay, exactly. Go ahead, Brad.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, you know, Ray and I talk to a lot of CEOs of major companies and others out there, and we find that those that are involved in their marketing, branding, and advertising are those companies that really are connected to who their consumer is. And you know, it's interesting to Ray and I, at least, that a C-level executive or a CEO, for that matter, would not be involved in their company's branding. It just doesn't make sense, certainly not in 2008. So I wanted to wish you the best of luck in Portland. ID Branding's a great company. We've followed you guys for a few years now, and just keep up the great work, Dennis.
And thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Great. Well, I appreciate your time, Ray and Brad, and thanks for having me on.
On the Advertising Show, back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
You're like no other babe ever born.
You're fabulous, babe.
You know how to reach out and show your love, babe.
You're fabulous, babe.
You're one
and thanks
of
again to our very special guest on today's show, Dennis Hahn, CEO of ID Branding. IDBranding.com is their website. Out of Portland, Oregon, what an absolutely gorgeous city that is. And even if you don't like rain, you'd probably enjoy living there. And as we said before earlier, it's actually one of the hotter cities to actually start a business, according to CNN.com. Mike Moran is with us next week on The Advertising Show, author of a book called Do It Wrong Quickly. And considering the fact that it's right around tax time, I'm sure this is not a book about doing your taxes, because you don't want to do that with the IRS, okay? They'll knock on your door and they'll say, hello. So Mike Moran, author of Do It Wrong Quickly, coming up next week on The Advertising Show. Brad, this is out of the Wall Street Journal. It says, Mercedes has launched a web show. Sounds interesting. Typically, car companies have promoted themselves by advertising their latest sedan or station wagon. Station wagon? Daimler AG Mercedes-Benz is testing a different route. It has launched its own music show on its own internet-based television station. The marketing drive mirrors the migration of advertising away from print and TV toward the internet, a move that BMW has tried to successfully with a series of film shorts, obviously. You remember those. But Mixed Tape Magazine last month, a monthly online show featuring video clips by Jennifer Lopez, Mark Ronson and those type of folks, and basically in an attempt to reach out to the younger folks with interest beyond cars, Mercedes-Benz says. So if you haven't seen the show, it might be interesting to check it out. But how ingenious is that for Mercedes to launch a younger generation or, you know, beyond Gen X type show? That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's a great idea. You know, you've got my interest. I'm going to curiosity. I'm going to check that out because as we were talking earlier with Dennis, if you're not over the top and really can deliver something of meaning and value to that consumer and not, you know, hit them over the head with, you know, commercials and that kind of thing while you've got them, which is a major turnoff, it's a great way to get people connected to your brand and do it in a more subtle way. And what was the website, Ray?
It is, let's see if I can find it here. Give me just a minute to check that out.
Sure.
I don't
sure.
have
Well,
that.
While you're checking that out, NBC earlier this week, NBC's Today Show had, you remember Nancy Giles, she's a comedian and also a journalist. She's with Donnie Deutsch. We all know Donnie Deutsch.
Sure, yeah.
And they were discussing the Vogue cover with LeBron James and model Gisele Bündchen.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, here we go again. All this racial conversation and stuff. I'm wondering how much of that is an outgrowth of our Democratic nomination process going on right now with, you know, Barack and Hillary. And boy, it's just,
I'm sure
the Republicans just have to love the bickering that's going on within the Democratic Party.
It certainly doesn't hurt the Republican Party. That's for sure. I don't have that website yet, but let's take a break here. We've got Patrick Meyer coming up on the advertising show. We'll be back with more in just a minute.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to talk to you about millennials and an intriguing piece called Discovery. Yes, you've heard me rant and rave about millennials. 80 million strong, completely upsetting the apple cart, representing the growth and future for the next 20 years of every brand and company that's out there. But I'm going to share an insight that might change how you think about your marketing and advertising efforts. At age 28 all the way down to 13, millennials are coming into their time. If you're the front half of millennials, the whole world is opening up for you. You're coming out of college, you're moving into your first place, you're getting married, you're having kids. The world is in front of you with amazing options. So here's a piece that's really important for them and for you. When everybody thinks that they're incredibly creative, which they are, whether it's creating videos, whether it's creating MySpace, YouTube, etc., it's more than just creativity. It's about discovery, because a lot of them out there aren't as creative as we would think they are. But what they really focus on is discovering new bits, new information, new music, new ideas, and sharing it with their friends, passing it on. So a great strategy is to be the enabler, a brand, a company, a service that enables the millennials to discover things and pass it on. So when you think about YouTube and MySpace, what are they doing? They're creating a forum and a platform to share things with your friends. The same thing with Facebook. So build into your strategy a way that millennials can discover new things, and along the way, discover your brand.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
Many thanks to Patrick Meyer here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Don't forget, our next week guest is Mike Moran, author of Do It Wrong Quickly. And no, I did not find a web address on there, but it is called Mixed Tape Music Magazine. It's a monthly online show, as we said before. It's funny, but it's you would think the article would contain a web address, one that I can't find.
I found it here, Ray. I found it here, Ray, just for those listeners that may want to check it out. It's mercedesbenz.tv/mixed tape, all one word. So I'll check that out after the show. I'm curious about it. So mercedes-benz.tv/mixed tape. If you just do a Google on that, you'll see they've got it on YouTube and elsewhere. But that's the site.
Hopefully you enjoyed the show today with Dennis. And hopefully you'll come back next week as we have more great stuff for you. Of course, at theadvertisingshow.com, there is an incredible amount of interview material for you if you're in the biz or looking at the biz or actually in business for yourself, whatever, as far as advertising goes. You can find pretty much just about anything you'd like to find out about. We've been doing this since 01, and we haven't aged a day. That's, well, I guess both of us haven't.
I haven't.
I haven't. Yeah, exactly. I've actually gotten younger. Advertising show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.